I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are happy to welcome to our studios, I think for the first time, right, Peter?
That's right, yeah.
Peter Miller of We Are the Willows, and they are a Twin Cities band. They've played up here a time or two, but it's never kind of worked out for us to get them in the studio, so we're happy to have you today, Peter.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you have so many things going on. Okay, tonight, Peter is part of the Songwriter Showcase that's happening at the Red Herring Lounge, and it's a bunch of local people along with Peter. It is Mark Gartman, Adam Herman, and Amy Apps, who actually lives in Rochester now, but she spent a lot of time on the Duluth music scene. So lots of songwriters. And what time does that event start?
I think it's 7 o'clock doors, 7:30 start time.
All right. So there's that tonight. Then tomorrow, the rest of the band is coming up. You're doing another show at the Red Herring Lounge along with Superior Siren, right?
That's correct.
I think that one starts at 9.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, as if that were not enough, the Ashland Folk Festival is going on, and that actually kicks off tomorrow, but you are playing on Saturday, and I think the first band is like 2 or 2:30, something like that, but your band is on at 3:30, right?
That's correct.
On Saturday at the Northland College in Ashland. So,
yeah.
Kicking off a busy weekend for Peter here, and so we're glad we caught you before you know.
Me too.
Before you got spent. While you're still fresh.
Yeah, so I'm not just sitting here asleep.
Yeah. So let's get started with a song, Peter, and then we'll come back and find out a little bit more about you and your band. What do you want to start with here?
This is a song called Picture off of a We Are the Willows album called Picture Portrait.
That is Peter Miller of We Are the Willows live from Studio A, and that is from a We Are the Willows album. And you had Portrait 1 and 2 One came out in 2014, one in 2016.
That's right. We released the record in two parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were based on letters that your grandpa wrote to your grandma before they were married when he was away in World War II.
That's correct.
Wow. That is so special.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to sort of like, you know, that record's out and to kind of have more distance from it. And my grandfather has since passed away. And
so was he alive when you did these albums?
As we were recording and finishing up the songs, his health was failing, and I was one of his primary caretakers, and so I was spending a lot of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get to hear the final product, but I played a lot of the songs for him.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And so, because sometimes people really don't want you to have access to that kind of stuff until after they're gone, you know what I mean? Or
right.
they you know, but so he was comfortable with that.
Yeah. It's sort of funny, like, how nonchalant both he and my grandma were about these letters.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with them in college, and I did all their chores and shoveling and stuff, and I got to stay in a little basement apartment. And my grandma gave me the letters after I graduated from college, and she was just sort of like, well, I think you'll probably think these are boring, but here you go. And then I just started reading them, and it was amazing to get a glimpse of both of them, really, you know, but at a different time in their life when they were different people. And
just like a thing that they went through that we have no comprehension of.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things that's like the most interesting about reading all of those. It's like, you know, this last song I just played is, you know, my grandpa sort of considering what sort of person he's going to be after all of these experiences. And like, I have no idea what it would be like to stare something like that down. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to this other country. I could die. I could see, could, and he did see people die. And, you know, like, I can't imagine staring that down.
And knowing that she's back at home and he's kind of, you know, maybe one of the things that's keeping him going, but he has no way of knowing if she's still, you know, he's hoping she's going to stick around for those
exactly.
4 years. And,
you know, he was really clear with her, like, if you don't want, you know, if you want to move on with your life, like, you should. And, which is also really, I don't know, like, interesting and understanding of him. Maybe that's the right word. But, it was just something that I was also, like, compelled by. It was him really realizing what he was getting himself into and not wanting to sort of have her feel chained up to him.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just so rarely have that chance to get to know our loved ones in that way. So that just must have been so, so wonderful.
I feel really, really privileged to mm-hmm. have this sort of experience of them and
mm-hmm.
and to share that with them. You know, my grandmother's still alive and we can still talk about that stuff.
Nice.
It's really special.
Nice. But that was a couple of years ago that you did those albums. And before that, now when you started We Are the Willows, were you doing it as just yourself? And you were using that name? You were kind of using that one-man band thing. So when did you start calling yourself We Are the Willows and performing as We Are the Willows?
That was in about 2008 or 2009. The first We Are the Willows album came out in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly thereafter, I embarked on like a year-and-a-half-long tour where I lived in my van, slept in Walmart parking lots, played to five people at a, you know, dingy dive bar all across the country. And, and after that experience, I realized that, like, I really want the songs to be bigger and feel larger. And
I want some company when I'm sleeping in the Walmart parking lot.
Yes, yeah. Though now, with six of us, it's a bit harder to, you know, just sleep in the Walmart parking lot. We have to have different accommodations, but
I want to get out of this Walmart parking lot, so I'm going to bring more people to share the cost of a hotel room.
Exactly.
Did you kind of gradually add people and
kind of. I mean, you know, it's sort of actually not gradually. I kind of gradually got like sifted through people. In 2011 I did a music residency at this club in Minneapolis and was just trying different band arrangements. And one of the arrangements was like an 11-piece orchestral ensemble. And that was really compelling to me, but also impractical. and kind of like impossible to schedule anything with. So it just sort of ended, I ended up kind of whittling down, you know, people who were invested and people who kind of shared the same vision. And, you know, I ended up with the five other folks that are with me now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So I guess it was kind of gradual coming to that six people, but it started out with quite a few.
Mm-hmm. And when you were, you know, out there performing by yourself, were you hearing like bigger arrangements in your head? And on that first album, did you have a lot more instrumentation on there?
Yeah. The first record is still kind of sparse, but there's, I think I was sort of in my infancy of like envisioning bigger arrangements and trying to articulate those myself, and mainly with not much success as I look back at it, you know. So I guess I've always had this notion of the arrangements being bigger, but maybe an inability to really like actualize that in the mm-hmm. way that I envision it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as a band, we're just getting like closer and closer to, you know, really putting down what is in our heads. Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting.
And so tell me who the other people are and what instruments are in a regular We Are the Willows show.
Yeah. The band includes our drummer, Josh McKay, bass player, Travis Collins, who also has a project called AM Striker. We have a violinist named Leah Ottman. She has a project called Lot. Our cellist name is Hillary James, and she's in like a million bands, including one called Bathtub Sig, one called Fiji 13. And then we have an electric guitar player named Jeremiah Satterthwaite. And that's everybody, right? Yeah,
okay.
That's everybody.
So it is kind of like an orchestral mixture of orchestra and rock.
Yes, yeah.
Together.
Definitely.
And you have such a unique voice. Did you grow up in choir or anything like that, or is it just something that you developed? Is that just how your voice sounds?
It's just how my voice sounds. I sang in choir in middle school,
mm-hmm.
And then kind of didn't really do much music until later in high school, where I started playing the drums, and then I really didn't discover that I could sing until college.
Mm-hmm.
And then even then, I don't know if it could be called singing, because it was like, it was very untrained.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so it's kind of been this like ongoing process of discovering and trying to tame the voice a little bit. It just like, I think singing is really hard, and some people seem to be able to do it effortlessly, but
mm-hmm.
So I'm still kind of learning.
What's hard about it for you?
I think for me, it's hard to not overthink, you know, like if I start singing and something kind of feels different than it has in the past, I'm sort of like, wait, what's going on there? And sort of lose the moment of just expression. And it, you know, feels sort of like I'm, you know, in a room like this, kind of monitoring all these little levels and making sure everything's gonna in its right place, as opposed to just kind of like, I don't know, some singers, you hear them and you're like, wow, that just comes out of them. It's like a version of their self, and and I really feel like I'm like constructing something inside me to try to get it out in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah.
Well, how about guitar playing? How is that for you, and how long have you been doing that?
I've been playing since college. I think I'm like a fine or to okay guitar player. Mm-hmm. And really what I like, yeah, I think I can do enough to write a song. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like, my uninhibited self comes out, you know, where it's, like, trying to get something that's inside you out into the world so you can kind of examine it, see what it feels like, and see if it feels true. And, mm-hmm. you know, those sorts of things, I think, that's kind of what, like, compels me about music is, I don't know, maybe trying to, like, figure out the meaning of life in a way, like...
Mm-hmm.
Through writing tunes,
mm-hmm.
but yeah,
mm-hmm. and kind of share that with other people and see what they think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And
yeah,
you kind of like put that out into the world, and it bounces off people, and you learn from that. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yeah, that's really compelling stuff to me.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, are you originally from Minnesota?
Yeah, I was born in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And then I grew up mostly in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I went to middle school and high school in Eau Claire.
Okay.
And then moved back to the Twin Cities for college, and I've lived in South Minneapolis ever since I graduated college in 2007.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's hear another song, and
okay.
then we'll come back and chat a little bit more. I know you you put out a single earlier this year. We'll talk about
that
and your plans for, it sounds like you have plans for more of those, so we'll find out more. But let's hear a song first.
Okay.
Dear Miss Brantner, you are on my mind all of the time. I'm sleeping on the ground. For now, I'll forget about babies born. My aunt has met the she is living proof that our intentions do what we want them to. A 21 gun salute could bring me back to you in a casket wrapped in a flake. I would be quarantined to a row of teeth in an army green sanitary yard. Dear Miss Brantner, you were from the start. To be there chopping wood was as good a chance as any to see your face in time and place. Your eyes and your kind smile, well, I will reconcile me to you. A 21 gun salute could bring me back to you in a casket wrapped in a flame. I would be quarantined to a row of teeth in an army yard. Well, I will be back. I'll carry that casket. I'll carry that flag. Well, I would be quarantined to a row of teeth in an army green, an army green.
That is Peter Miller of We Are the Willows, live from Studio A. And I'm going to assume that's another one from the albums with the,
it is, yeah.
the based on the letters of your grandfather. But so this year you put out a single in January, I think.
That's correct.
And I was reading on your website that your plans are to put out a series of singles in the next couple of years. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, those are our plans. We sort of, you know, with Picture Portrait, it was this, you know, 20-song, two-part, full-length record that we put out at a time where it could be argued the album was sort of beginning its, you know, slow decay in a commercial sense. You know, as we were touring extensively, promoting that record, and kind of at the tail end of that, just sort of realized, like, the thought of staring down another 4 years of writing new tunes, recording them, you know, getting $10,000 or more to sort of invest in this thing up front, the more we stared that down, I think the less excited we got, and it just felt like that was too far away. So kind of on a more like commercial or administrative front, we felt like putting singles out into the world more continuously is a good way for us to just continue to have more stuff out. And then creatively, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to like really focus in on one tune and make it and then put it out and then move on to the next thing and just kind of keep working and keep going. It feels like the best way to get, you know, the six of us excited and working on stuff and putting it out. And so the plan is to just sort of, I'm hoping for like, at the very least, like a quarterly release, so 4 singles a year, maybe, hopefully more than that. But, that's kind of where we're at. We have plans to put another tune out on June 1st. And that's a song we recorded at a studio in Eau Claire, Wisconsin called April Bass, with our friend Mike Noyce, who used to play in Bon Iver and I think still plays in the Tallest Man on Earth's live band. He produced it and engineered it. And we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of all come together and I'm really, really excited to put it out in the world.
Nice. Well, and you know, you kind of said on your website that you're going to do them in different places, and you know, so it kind of gives you some flexibility.
Yeah.
Getting to work with different people.
Yeah, totally. And that has been like a really meaningful experience because Jeremiah, who plays in We Are the Willows, he and I engineered Picture Portrait ourselves, and that was just kind of another side of it that was really taxing. And to be able to go into a professional studio, have a producer and an engineer who are all worrying about the levels, the details, the stuff that kind of take you out of the spirit of the song, like, as performers, we can just live in that. And like, that has been an amazing experience for me. Just be able to go into a vocal booth and just only focus on singing and trying to put something real out, you know, like record something real and that feels honest, like that, that's great. And so that's been really, really fun.
Nice.
To do.
Yeah. Nice. And I was going to ask you, so because those two albums were, you know, you were adapting material that already was there. How challenging was that, first of all, to kind of adapt those letters into songs? Did it require, compared to like writing a whole new song?
Right.
How would that compare?
I think in some ways it maybe felt a bit more mechanical or like archival or something. I would read these letters and I had a separate notebook where I would like kind of keep notes of events or phrases or experiences that I related to. And then sort of separately, I was compiling all of these guitar parts and some melodies and then eventually kind of matching them and making, I would also like be writing my own lyrics. I wasn't doing like a one-to-one transfer of the text, but, it did feel a bit, like I said, a bit more archival or something, like just kind of puzzling things together,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like reaching in myself and finding a feeling and putting it out,
mm-hmm.
you know. So,
well, I guess I was curious about whether, so because you were kind of focusing on using somebody else's words, although it sounds like you were, you know, incorporating your own as well, you know, if in the back of your mind was, you know, all these, your own stuff was gestating, and if you had a lot of stuff to work with now that you're past that project.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Picture Portrait project had like some limitations for how much I could really insert myself in it. So, and these songs, these new songs that we have are really, they're really personal. They're about like depression and mental health issues. And, a lot about, like, love, the nature of love when, I guess just the nature of love. I think romantic love is, like, really, and for me, feels really complicated, but also really simple.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of trying to dissect that. And, you know, as I'm, like, living with my partner, like, and learning to be a better person to her, like, everything that goes along with that. And a lot of those lessons are hard to learn. And so it's kind of...
Well, and in fact, that reminds me of the song that you put out earlier this year, and I don't remember the exact lyrics, but it's really about, you know, other people have experienced this, but I haven't, and
yes.
in about love, and yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. I was curious about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that song was written at a time where, like, I hadn't been in love with somebody before, and one of the lyrics is, like, basically that, like, I'm kind of relieved, because there's,
that,
like, pleasure
yes.
and pain, but...
But
I'm scared of the pain part.
And what's it's something about the mess? I've avoided. I can't
oh,
remember.
Yeah,
I've kept my hands clean of the mess, or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
And then yeah. that finishes with now they're empty.
Oh,
and,
that's right. Yes. Yes.
And yeah, I mean, love is one of those things that's like, you know, you are compelled by somebody, but then you also make a lot of decisions to continue being compelled by them. Or when you don't feel compelled, you have to decide that you love this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just a trip to me. Like, you know, it sounds so simple, but I feel like it's really easy to have a notion growing up in our culture, just that it's going to be this sort of like, it's going to be like a product that you consume. Right. And you're like, I feel love. So I'm just getting fed, you know, by a fire hose of love all the time, when really it's like, it's mm-hmm. not something you consume, it's something you embody, and you it's a behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been a really interesting switch for me, as you know, as I'm, like I said, learning to be a better partner. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not always gonna feel, you know, fireworks feelings,
right? And
I'm gonna decide
mm-hmm.
to put my stuff away, because I know that makes you feel better when you get home from work.
Right. Yep.
But, you know, whatever.
It's harder than the movies make it look.
Yeah.
But I loved that different approach to it, of saying, you know, I haven't, because it seems like, it, you know, some people have no problem going from relationship to relationship. Like, they yeah. have no problem finding love. And then for other people, you know, they're never in a relationship. And
right.
it's, and so it's kind of from that point of view, how come it's so easy for some people, and then for other people,
right.
it doesn't just happen naturally?
Right.
And so that's what I was interested in that song, because I don't think that gets... People
talked
don't write about that part of love
right.
very often.
Like, it feels really complicated
yeah,
and hard.
Exactly.
And I like, have yearned for another songwriter to be like, this is really serious stuff, and it's difficult. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, and for me, I think my statement would be like, I think it's worth it, love. It's worth the decision. It's worth all the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard,
mm-hmm.
you know? And even, you know, I feel like I'm like in a place of privilege in so many ways. And my life is so easy in so many ways. But even still, it's hard to be a decent person to people sometimes. And yeah, so anyways. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have time for one more song. What do you want to wrap up with here, Peter?
I guess I'll play that tune that we put out in January, since we were just talking about it. This tune is called One Body. One thing I might say about these newer tunes is that they're kind of made with a lot more collaboration with the band. So I feel particularly, exposed playing them solo. So anyways, we'll see how this goes.
Buried underneath all of my beliefs is one, is just one sense of relief at the possibility of never being in love. Clean up the Somewhere between you and me is one. It's just one thought of my one body between your knees, embezzling and reveling.
Peter Miller of We Are the Willows, live from Studio 8. What's that one called again?
That song is called One Body.
One Body, that's right. Thanks for doing that one. I like that one. And again, all right, Peter is playing tonight as part of the Songwriters event at the Red Herring Lounge, and that starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7. Tomorrow night, he is playing with his entire We Are the Willows band, so you're going to hear some of these songs with a whole bunch of people, and that's at 9 o'clock at the Red Herring Lounge. And then on Saturday, the We Are the Willows are playing at the Ashland Folk Festival at Northland College, and their set is at 3:30, although it starts a little bit earlier on Saturday, and it's also happening on Friday. Well, thank you so much, Peter. That was fun.
Thank you for having me.
Today's Live from Studio 8 was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.